for example, he should be able to tell when observing an electric wire in a circuit whether the current is on or off. And those sort of tests, even if he fails and makes mistakes many times, need to be carried out until he is reasonably certain. Say, right four times out of six or something like that. So, you see, the development of clairvoyance is a very complex process. Then I would add that a heavy price has to be paid for the real clairvoyance, which has enabled its possessor to break through the veil of physical matter and etheric matter into the astral, mental, and higher world. He has lost thereafter some protection which normally he would have had. He or she is then subject to responses to the play of all kinds of forces, such as emotions and thoughts and magnetic influences about places and objects and people, to which normally would be quite unresponsive. And sometimes this inflow of forces is very, very disturbing, can even produce actual pain, if only psychic pain, and extreme discomfort. Indeed, the trained clairvoyant, unless he can completely shut down his sensitivity, is in a way always being subjected to some such strains and stresses. And if he's not careful, it can produce a kind of simple eccentricity against which he has always to be on guard. A gesture, for example, or a sudden start, or placing his hand on his head without any reason or sense, or a sudden startled look in the eyes, or even an exclamation because there's been some occult experience suddenly striking him of the character to which I refer. And all of this makes him constantly on his guard and very susceptible to strain and even real suffering. Supposing, for example, he finds himself right in a large number of cases in his observations, and then he suddenly breaks down through fatigue or other causes. He's very wrong. He may have misled someone, or broken someone's faith in himself, or in spiritual life, or the process of clairvoyance, and really hurt someone. Well, the reaction upon the seer is a torture. Believe me, it's a veritable torture. And he has to be prepared to pay the price, and the very bitter price it often is to be clairvoyant. Remember how the poet Schiller said, "Take back my sad clear-sightedness. Give me back my blindness." Thus he cried out in the suffering which the clearer vision gave him. And then again, as the mind grows mature, the person learns to laugh all these things off and not to be affected unduly by them. He has his own inner center of poise and peace and happiness, which nothing from outside should be able to invade, or very little at any rate, and so he isn't easily disturbed. But in the early years, he is bound to suffer often quite a bit. Then, of course, there are all the factors of freedom from obligation. It could be necessary to engage in meditation for at least half an hour every day. He would need to call up some of the sleeping kundalini from the base of the spine and force it up the spine in under their influence. I've often seen that a first dawning or even a few occult experiences will elevate a person out of normal, and they will find that they are possessed of a power over others, that by pretending to be able to see deeper into them than is normal, perhaps to bring them messages from higher authorities, or to prophesy a great destiny ahead for them, they gradually and unconsciously have fallen into both deceit and maneuvering for power by the use of pseudo and supposed, and often pretended, occult prophecies. Well, there I must leave the subject, showing what a complex procedure the development of clairvoyance is, and how, unless the circumstances of one's life really free one from every other obligation, and point the way to a dharma as an occult investigator, then the development of clairvoyance is best left alone. Study academically the laws governing it, the forces involved. Seek spirituality, oneness with God, and realization that all action is done in His name, and really by Him. And then, perchance, the clairvoyance would be my response to a person asking about their personal development of clairvoyance. Finally, I would say that there is such a faculty, and that if a person is utterly determined that they're going to find out the truth about life, organic, inorganic, human and divine, then there's nothing really to stop. And the dauntless will can enable them to discover the truth for themselves. This is the morning of March. With a very high order of magnification into the diamond in the ring, are first and definitely a system of diagonally interrelated conditions of attention rather than actual existences. They the subsidiary effect set up by the play of interior and presumably external forces. I also see strangely enough that perspective definitely enters into clairvoyant sight of this order, namely ether two, three, or four of whatever it is I'm using. This I must learn to overcome and not to be deceived by perspective. do see now that there were four families in opposite directions. As far as I can, that the whole system is circulating, but that the component funnels retain their mutual relationship unmoved. That is, they move together. With this double four system on the outside of it, but I don't think I can yet see a full up even. I can't. I'm not forgetting your question. Say yes, they're packed. As it were, opening up funnel to opening up funnel. Now I'm getting more. Yeah. this flowing force seemed to me to be like cement in terms of energy, and pressing them, holding them together. That's all outside in this particular sense. No, I didn't want that in mind. I just happened to notice that. It's advisable, isn't it, for me to just chip in with anything that I see, really. raise your consciousness phenomenon, when you raise your consciousness, the actual is colour, as far as I'm concerned. The thing becomes coloured. I'd rather not do that at the moment, but I'm rather well focused. For instance, these little little dots now. I'd rather like to try and analyse and enlarge one up if I can get it. I think these are aggregations of, I don't know how many, Arnold, to make one little minute point of energy. But even finer still, I now see, a kind of smooth, all-pervading substance or condition of substance, which are the particles of which are finer than these, I've just been describing, flowing between adjacent sides. No, I'm not down to Arnu level there. There are molecules in that quantity. Built of Arnus, but as this granular force, which is built of single Arnus, rushes out and then turns at right angles, several coagulate and several go together. Is pervaded by a finer force, a finer substance with smaller particles still. shape at all, but remain at that point uppermost tenuity of physical substance, remain free, like free elemental essence. And it's immediately below that they begin, the dots begin to coagulate into slightly larger dots, and so on and on until the whole regular system begins to perform. Don't interrupt. Put all this in another way. There is a free, floating, extremely tenuous condition of matter, which isn't part of these forms at all. It flows freely in between all interstices. It's loose, free, unused matter, waiting to be created, put into forms. And that's rather, that is rather deceiving. I'm glad I've found it. But I've been puzzled by these still finer points of light which pervade all the phenomena I've been trying to study. And I think it's independent of the forms. Just floating free, not you. Now watching it, then I also see that from it, there suddenly gets sucked, as it were, into a funnel, a stream of this force. And that some of the minute dots coagulate and some don't, and that they go rushing down the funnel. This is the reservoir of matter that I'm seeing. That the free, unformed, momentarily unformed. Then as I watch, I see there's a sucking of it into the form, and it rushes down or produce the form. Now it's necessary for me, with my great limitations, to be on guard against confusing this omnipresent, finely grained substance with the structure of occult chemistry. Now I'm open to it. Now I'm glad I've got that down. Now I'm open to direction if you want it. modify my statement, there's an inflow as well. So that may be from the other funnel, but there's definitely an inflow going on down the funnel towards the centre, as well as what struck me first as being much more positive and noticeable and strong, the outflow. All right, established a two-way flow, efferent and inflowing in the funnel. Conceivable velocities down the funnel. And I see the impression of a very high concentration of energy. Right there, at what would be the intersection of the axes of the funnel. Things happening there in a minute fraction of time. Something changes this spring substance into a controlled condition. And it's highly compressed, rapidly compressed, and it exists. Shoot off down the system, immediately to be replaced by more, and this flow is going on all the time. It's a very deeply impressive phenomenon. It's the heart of the atom of our system, in the sense of its generating station. Not unlike, I put my consciousness down a little in there.